Good morning. It is good to be together as we continue in our worship as we enter the time of the ministry of the Word. And I really struggled with what section to cover this morning, but I thought it would be good to think about, to look at Peter's sermon again in Acts. And 2 weeks ago, I covered we talked about the first miracle that we saw in Acts, the first sign that was done by the Holy Spirit through the apostles. And we discussed a couple weeks ago the reason for the miracle or the sign, and James really spoke about that a lot last week, about the idea that the signs were given to establish the Word of God, that what the apostles spoke was the Word of God. And it also brought the people together and caused them to listen. And we saw the sign, as we discussed in Acts chapter 3, of the lame man, the man who was born lame. When he got up and left and came into the temple, the sign drew the crowd. And it caused these people to be shaken and to hear, to listen to the word spoken. And last week, James really covered the whole sermon all the way. He covered the sermon. He concentrated on the gospel of grace. I enjoyed that really overview of the gospel of grace. And James also spoke about the reaction to the sermon by the rulers and elders as they held the apostles overnight and demanded that they stop teaching these things. So I thought it would be good to look again just a little bit more at the actual sermon that Peter preached. And let's pray, and then we will begin. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Father, we're so thankful for the way that you have preserved your word for us. We're thankful for the way that you preserved these signs that the apostles did so that we might, As we read this sermon this morning of Peter speaking to these people, we can be in the same place. Just amazed that a lame man, lame from birth, leapt into the temple the way that he did. Father, we just pray that you would cause that to get our attention, to cause us to listen to what was said, to listen to your word spoken to us. And Father, we just pray that you would work among us this morning as we spend time in your word, as we spend time discussing the gospel, the truth of Christ, the Messiah, who he was and what he accomplished. Father, we just again thank you for the opportunity to be here together this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And again, we just need to, as we approach these texts, we tend to want to be, I believe, just our humanity, when we see these miracles and when we see the signs, I don't know, it's easy for it to distract us, to get us to start thinking about the signs, to concentrate on the signs. So we need to get it in our head that when we see the signs, we should listen to what was said, because the signs were there to prove that the words were the words of God. But we can see it clearly in this message that Peter preached, that the healing of that lame man was to show the people that it was spoken from God, that these were words come from God. And the people that were there listening would have had to gone to great lengths to say otherwise. And as James spoke of last week, they didn't, did they? They couldn't deny the fact that this man was lame and he now walks. They saw the lame man walking. And they knew this man. They had seen him sitting there at the temple begging for money, begging for things to sustain himself. They had seen him sitting there. And now they had seen this man leaping like a deer. They'd seen him leaping like a deer. And And they should have thought, I believe they should have thought, let's read the text first and then we'll go further. But beginning in verse 11, while he, this man that was caused to walk, the lame man, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him and whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to the prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. So as we, you know, as we think, as Peter begins to speak, as he begins to preach this sermon, as he says that, as he begins to preach, we see here that the crowd was there gathered. They kind of backed them up into the portico. They gathered and they were ready to listen. And Peter responded, we talked about it before, but Peter responded here. When he saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this?" You know, so they were in wonder. Here's this man hanging on Peter and John, and they rushed to Peter, and he says, "Why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? So why do you stare at us and wonder about us that we might have made him wonder, or that we might have made him walk?" But Peter immediately begins to declare, what does he declare to them? You know, that like I spoke of a couple weeks ago, we tend to want to focus on the miraculous. Like that would draw our attention away. But Peter completely, at the very beginning, begins to declare Christ to them. Peter, from the very beginning, starts to declare this gospel of grace to them. He begins to declare the gospel. And he begins with what? He begins with God. He begins with the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus. So he immediately begins with God, God the Father. And he immediately points them to God the Son. The Son, this Jesus, the servant Jesus. And as they hear this word servant here, it should have caused them to think of the servant, the Christ, the Messiah. Right from the very beginning, he's declaring to them, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He says the servant. And that word for servant there was the same word used all throughout the Old Testament in the Greek Septuagint, the Greek interpretation they use. It's the same word that referred to the servant, the Christ, the Messiah, all through the Old Testament. It should have caused them immediately to think of that. It would have caused them to think specifically of those texts that declared that there was a servant to come. So here, Peter from the very beginning declares that God, the God, their God, the great I Am, had what? Glorified his servant, Jesus. God had glorified him. God had glorified the servant. And here in verse 15, Peter declares that in verse 15, he declares, whom God raised from the dead. So he declares Jesus, and then he declares that God has raised him from the dead. So the great I Am, the God of your fathers, he's glorified his servant and he's raised him from the dead. And then at the same time, I put this text in there, I forgot about it just then. James mentioned it last time. As we think about, as they're beginning to hear this, we hear this, say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. So as this lame man leapt like a deer, they should have been prepared to hear the message that this Jesus was the one who was to come. But this Jesus, let me read this text again before I get turned around. This Jesus, and when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety we have made him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. So he immediately declares Jesus as the servant. That the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had glorified in whom he had raised from the dead. But notice, as he's declaring these truths, that Jesus is the servant of God who suffered and who was raised from the dead, notice also at the same time as he's declaring these truths, notice the yous in there. He specifically, as he's speaking to these people, he specifically puts them into the context of what he's speaking of. So he's speaking of the Father glorifying the servant, the Father raising him from dead, while at the same time he says, you, he speaks of Jesus, whom you delivered over. Whom you denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. This Jesus whom you denied, while you denied him, you denied the holy and righteous one. And so he specifically puts them in the play, in the account here. He says, you denied, and whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. And you denied the holy and righteous one, and you asked for a murderer to be granted to you instead, to be released. And then he goes on, he says, you killed the author of life. You killed him. So he specifically, as he's speaking to these people, Peter declares, he declares to them that they were part of this picture. He declared to them why they were seeing this lame man walking because of the faith, he says in 16. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man the perfect health in the presence of you all. So he declares to them here the reason this man walks is because of faith in his name. It's the idea that faith in the Messiah who's come, whom you killed, is what has led to this man walking. But here, in all of this, he's showing them the role that they played in killing the author of life. He's showing them their great sin. He puts them in the story and he's driving home to them their sinfulness. Their sinfulness. Their own God, the God that they worshipped, had glorified his servant Jesus, the Messiah, while they had put him to death. So they had ignored what was written about the Messiah. They had ignored what was written about him, and in their sin, by their own desires, by their own will, they had crucified him. At the same time that as they were driven by what they desired to do and he was crucified, God used to glorify the Son. So they were there, these people that heard it, they were there, they had witnessed it. Many had been there when they cried out, "Crucify him." I'm sure many of these same men had cried out, "Crucify him." There were leaders and rulers there that had participated in the unlawful trial of the Messiah. It was unlawful, all that they did. They didn't follow the law at all, but they were there. So some were there, they were listening. They saw what had happened. Some had participated in it. And as he declared these things to them, they were guilty of what he's saying about them. They were completely guilty and complicit in the death of the author of life. In the death of the author of life, they had completely ignored all that was written about him as he's declaring these truths to them. If they would have listened, if they could have listened and heard what he said, they would have known who he was, but they did not listen. They were completely guilty of what he was saying. And let me tell you all. Let me tell you, everybody listen. Let me tell you all. Listen. Listen to this, guys. Not only are they guilty, we, apart from Christ, apart from this faith in his name, are in that same spot. We are just as guilty as they when we are in our own sins. We all, without faith, without that faith in his name, we have all denied the author of life. If we don't believe that Jesus is who he said he was, we have denied the author of life. Without believing in him, we have denied the holy and righteous one of God, the one whom God raised from the dead, to which Peter and John are here witnessing to us about. And their words are shown to be true by these signs they did that the Holy Spirit showed to prove what they said was true. So I just declare to you, if you've not trusted in him for salvation, if you've not completely trusted in Christ being the Messiah, completely believed in all that he did and accomplished, we're right here in this story, in this account. The yous are talking about us. So let us listen. Let us listen to the words that Peter says. Let us listen. Because whenever he says, it was by faith in his name, that this man is made strong, when he said that, he is showing us that what he says is true. And there was a lame man healed in this account. This happened. They were persecuted for what they taught, not because it was not denied that they healed the man. So let us all listen. And Peter continues in verse 17, and he says, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that as Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out." So he continues by saying, he says, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance. You acted without knowing. They had acted without listening. They had not truly heard the truth of who Christ was, who Jesus said he was, and who he truly was, had not been revealed to these men by the Holy Spirit. They were in ignorance. They didn't know. They had acted upon the desires of their flesh. You know, they heard this man speaking these things, and if he was truly who he said he was, they would have had to listen, but they didn't believe it. They didn't know. They didn't think he was. So in their flesh, their desire was to shut this man up. They saw this man speaking as saying he's declaring himself to be the Son of God, and they saw him as an enemy of their God. You know, whenever they saw him saying that the Father and I are one, what did they? They looked at that and declared him to be an enemy of God, one who should be put down, put aside. And as they thought of him as an enemy, a blasphemer, they didn't know him. They didn't know who he was. They didn't believe who he plainly said he was, considered him an enemy, while they were acting as the true enemies of God, just as we are without faith in his name. Those without faith in his name are the enemies of God. They thought they were being obedient, but they were truly the enemies of God. And we read that in Romans 5:10. "For if while we were enemies," these men were enemies, they were not reconciled to God. "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life." That's speaking of a people like James was reading in the text this morning, the idea that these are people who once were enemies of God, but who are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. And just as these people were considering themselves as defending their God, putting down this enemy of God who was saying he was the Son of God, just as they thought they were obeying God in their great sin, they were truly the enemies of God. And just didn't know it yet. Just did not know it yet. But we, if we have not believed, if we've not believed that Jesus is the Son of God, we are in that same place. We are enemies of God. And here, the Holy Spirit declares through Peter that, you know, he says, "I know you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but," I love the buts when we see those, "but what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled." There's one of the great buts in the scripture. But what God foretold, what he had spoken of, what God foretold, what he told about beforehand, what he had declared beforehand by the prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. So Peter declares to these that speak unto us that what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets has been fulfilled. And we speak often of the Old Testament text that spoke about the Christ generations before he came. You know, we often read Isaiah 53 that was written some 700 years before Christ came, or approximately that. But it was written before Christ came, the suffering servant spoken of in Isaiah 53. We even see it all the way back at the fall, where there's the promise of the offspring of the woman. We see the We see the prophecy that the son would suffer, the offspring's head would be bruised, or heel would be bruised. We see it at the very beginning, the promise of the suffering Messiah. And we read of him in Isaiah 53 all through, but I wanted to look at Psalm 22. We read Isaiah 53 last week for the Lord's Supper. But if we think of Psalm 22, and I think you're all familiar, but I want to stress to you this morning, stress to all of you, the significance of this scripture as we read through it, this pointing to Jesus. And think about it as we see it in the context of Peter, where he says, But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Think of the significance of that. And think of it as we think of these men that knew all these scriptures that completely ignored them. But it was fulfilled. So let's read. We're going to read part of Psalm 22. And just listen to these words. Speaking of the Messiah, speaking of Jesus Christ who was to come. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him. For he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. You see, the scripture that these men had that Peter's speaking to clearly described Jesus as the Messiah. All that he suffered, all that happened, is clearly laid out in the scripture. As you read Isaiah 53, it's clearly laid out there. It's spoken of all throughout the scripture. And Peter continues speaking. He continues speaking in verse 22. Peter says, Moses said, speaking of Jesus, Peter says, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall the families of the earth be blessed. So he continues, you know, which I read Psalm 22. He didn't quote Psalm 22, but he's speaking of all the prophecies pointing to Christ, that the servant would suffer. And here he quotes Moses, speaking of a prophet like me. It's God speaking. He says, a prophet like me from your brothers will be raised up by God. So Moses spoke of the Christ. He spoke of the Christ who would come. And he said, whoever will not listen to these words, it would be required of them. I'm trying to remember if I have. Yeah, I have the quote. He quotes from Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. So here in Deuteronomy, Moses spoke of the prophet, the one who would come, the one who would come to speak to them, and the prophet whom he would raise up so that they would not experience. Remember, they were around the, they actually experienced the presence of God, and the mountain was on fire, and they were afraid. And so the idea is here that God is speaking of the Messiah who would come, the prophet who would come, the one who would come to stand between them and God, so that they would know God and have access to God and be able to hear God and all of those things. But the whole Old Testament speaks of these things. And we see at the very beginning, end of this, he says, and all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him, all the prophecies are proclaiming these days, the days that the Christ would come, the days that Peter's speaking of at that time. So Peter declares at that time that all the prophecies spoke of these days, when Christ the Messiah would come, when he would suffer, when he would die, when he would be raised from the grave, and all of those things had been spoken of. And so Peter's declaring, remember, Peter's speaking to this group of people, he's declaring that all of these things have been spoken of. He's declaring to them that you are in this time. We are in this time. The time that the prophecy spoke about. And Peter declared, he goes on and he declares to those that were listening. He says, you know, he says, all the prophecies spoke of these days. And then he says, you are the sons of the prophets. So you have all of the prophecies. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall the families of the earth be blessed. These were the people who were given the word of God. These were the people that the prophets had spoken to. These were the people who had the scriptures. They had all the prophecies. And here Peter declares, you're the sons of the prophets and the covenant that God made with your fathers. You have it all. And in this sermon, he's declaring to them that Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the one whom you crucified, is the one who fulfilled all of these things. He fulfilled all of these things. And he goes on, he says, God... So he says, you're the sons of the prophets and of the covenant. And then he says, God, having raised up his servant, this servant Jesus who fulfilled all the prophecies, God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first. He said, you're the sons of the covenant. And God's raised up his his prophet, God raised up his servant, and he sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. So he's saying that. He's telling them, God sent him to you first. So here, they're here listening to the gospel. They're here listening at the very beginning of the proclamation of the gospel. It had been proclaimed of old, but now it was finished. It had been proclaimed in the Old Testament, but now it was fulfilled. It has been done. The servant has come. The suffering servant has come. He has suffered. He has been buried, and he rose from the grave. And he says, now you, the sons of the covenant, you have heard it first. He came to you first. And he came for what purpose? To bless them. He says, to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. So as the Holy Spirit had declared through Peter previously, he said, God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness here. And then earlier he had declared, repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed to you, Jesus. So Peter had, when he first began, he said, repent therefore and turn back. He'd called on them to repent. He'd called on them to repent and turn back so that their sins may be blotted out. And here we see at the end, he says, that he came to bless you by turning every one of you away from your wickedness. And then, as he declared later, that James spoke about as the apostles were being questioned, he says, let it be known to you all, or to all of you, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you. He says, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So there he declares Jesus as the servant who has come to fulfill the prophecies that they had been given. And he declares that he is the Christ, the suffering servant, and that he came to them first so that they might be turned away from their sins, so that their sins might be removed. And he declares that there's no salvation apart from Christ, no other name among men by which we must be saved. So Peter has come to these people, and as I said earlier, we can put ourselves in that same place as sinners, because we all played a role in the death of Christ. If it was not for our sin, Christ would not have had to come to die, but it was in the plan of God that happened. Yet we as sinners, if we've not trusted in Jesus, we are enemies of God. And if we were there, we would have done the same thing. If we were present, if not for the moving of God, we would have done the same thing. And if any of you sitting here, I can say you, as Peter said you, if you are sitting here, if you've not trusted in Christ, if you've not believed he is the one who came to suffer for a people, if you've not believed, you're in the same state of these people that Peter's talking about. It is true. You're in the same state that they're talking about, or that they were. They were the sons of Abraham. They'd been given the word. They were there at the temple daily. They were there at the hour of prayer. They were there at the temple hearing the word of God read. They were there. They had the prophecies. They had grown up with the prophecies. They were the sons of the covenant, yet they remained enemies of God, and they even killed the author of life. But it says he came to you first. And I just want to declare to you that many of us have grown up in the church. Many of us, they had the Word of God. They grew up with the Word of God. And here they're enemies of God. Many of us have grown up in families that have been active in churches. We've heard the Word of God as we've heard it read at home. We've heard it preached at church. Many of you have heard these things over and over your whole life. And I talk to some of you young, some of you old, some of you in the middle, anywhere in the middle. A lot of us have listened to these things over and over. It just almost becomes like normal. It's just kind of like what we've, you know, we hear it and we say, yeah, I've heard that. You know, I've heard it over and over again. But let me ask you, have you truly listened? Have you truly thought of these things? Do you just hear them and they're just kind of the noise that you're used to? Or have you heard them like these men heard these things for the first time this day? They had read them their whole lives. They had read Isaiah 53 their whole life. And they never considered this Jesus of Messiah, this Jesus of Nazareth that we crucified. They had thought of him as an enemy of God. But here, for the first time, they truly heard. They heard the scriptures explained and they saw it. They saw it. So I just ask you all, have you truly listened? Have you truly trusted in Christ? Have you repented? Have you turned from going your own way? You know, repentance is like you're walking one direction, thinking only of yourself and what you're going to do and the things that you think of, the things that you desire. You're walking one direction, and then all of a sudden you see yourself as a sinner. These men at this moment, they thought they were the righteous ones. You know, they were going to the temple. They were there. And all of a sudden they see that they participated in the crucifixion of the author of life. They saw it. And we're the same way. We'll be walking our own way, living our lives, not thinking of much, maybe hearing the scripture over and over again and just moving along, just walking along. And then all of a sudden, bam, it hits you. You hear the scripture and you say, I am a sinner. I've not truly trusted in the Messiah. And you, all of a sudden, these men, their eyes were opened and they saw that they were the ones who participated in the crucifixion of the author of life. They saw it. And I just encourage you all, think on these things. Think of yourself. Have you truly trusted? Have you truly seen yourself as a sinner? Have you truly seen yourself as an enemy of God? I encourage you to stop. Turn around and look upon the Christ. Look upon the Christ. Look upon the one who was lifted up. I encourage you young people to think about these things. You've got to take hold of these truths. You need to make them your own. Because if you've not trusted in Christ, you are in your wickedness. You need to turn from your wickedness and stop trusting in your position, in your families. You may have grown up in a family of believers. You may be an adult here and your parents are believers and you're trusting in their faith. We need to take a hold of Christ personally for ourselves and believe, trust in Him, turn to the one who was lifted up. So I beg of you to think about these things and turn to Him that your sins may be blotted out. And as Peter said to these, he said, repent therefore. So you see where you're at, you repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord and that He may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. Notice that he says, repent and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. And then he says that times of refreshing may come. That times of refreshing may come. I would encourage some of you that are believers here that are at a stagnant place. You're just kind of going through the motions, moving on along. there's a sense that those who are even believers, there's an idea that we need to repent of our sins. When we sin, when we're not trusting completely in Christ, when we're thinking of our own way and moving along, just going down as we're walking down our lives, there's places where we need to repent and turn back, that times of refreshing may come in the presence of the Lord. And so this is what he declared to him, and what Peter declared to these people, and this is what Peter, the Holy Spirit, declares through Peter to us, that we all repent and turn back, that our sins may be blotted out. And I want to close, I'm just going to close by encouraging you to repent and believe the gospel. Make it your own. If you grew up in church and you're just going through the motions, I encourage you to grab a hold of Christ. Repent and believe. And then confess that belief by following him in baptism. Repent and believe and be baptized. Now, let's close it, but I want to go back to Psalm 22 and read the rest of the psalm. We saw the suffering servant, but the psalm ends beginning in verse 22. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affection of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity should serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. And that's what we declare here. That's what Peter's declaring. That's what we declare this morning, that we're proclaiming his righteousness to a people yet unborn. As this was written, you were yet unborn. We proclaim the righteousness of Christ to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. It is finished. So I encourage you to turn, repent, and believe. Take hold of Christ. Believe the gospel. Trust in his finished work and declare it to others. I encourage you to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you, Father, for for making yourself known to us, that we might know you, Father, through the obedience of the Son, who willingly put on flesh and lived a perfect, sinless life, perfectly righteous, the righteous one, who came and lived that sinless life, yet willingly died in the place of sinners. Father, we are thankful. We cannot help but glorify you for all that you've done and all that you're doing among us. And Father, I just pray that if there's any here that, Lord, that have truly heard today, if they've truly heard recently, if they've heard the gospel, truly seen themselves and in their condition apart from Christ, and have repented and believed and trusted in Christ, Father, I just pray that you would Lord, that you would cause them to make that known. And Father, I just pray that if there's any here that have not believed, that you would just work in them to bring new life. And Father, we again thank you for your word and for the opportunity you've given us to be here this morning. We're thankful that the roads were thawed, that we could come, and we just want to glorify you in all things. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.